Shoreline, Red River Valley Fairgrounds, and the Santa Cruz Civic. It's Concert Memories, next on Tom and Hank Talk About the 80s.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank.
Were you...
I was thinking of the noise at the end. So you always tell me it's going to be there, and I'm like, I know we've done. I know it's going to go. You're like, but, just warning you.
But you always get real jumpy.
I love starting off with an argument,
which we do a lot.
It just releases the tension.
It does. We have throttled each other before the pub. Wait, wait.
Well,
wait a second.
Well,
hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank.
You have been on vacation, and
I'm still on vacation.
I know you are.
I'm still on vacation.
We're recording a little later than we usually would.
The part of Tom LG will be played by Hank Hedlund.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Why does everybody always make me sound like Grover or freaking Kermit the Frog?
I think you are.
My ex-wife used to say I sounded like Eeyore, so I guess I have to step up.
Well, you're not an ass anymore. You're just a frog.
Oh, boy. I've been at Disneyland. And not giving an F about anyone else besides me and my girlfriend.
I got one or two returns every day.
Well, so here's the thing. At Disney, they have a special radar system set up to suck your battery to the bone within the first 3 minutes that you're there. So if you don't buy one of their, you know, $30 a day portable chargers, you basically have to have your phone on airplane mode all day, which means you can't send or receive texts.
Multiple text
and
exchanges.
Texties. And anyway, so, you know, everything there is about making people happy and making a buck. So if they can make a buck, they'll do it. And that means all the outlets have been bolted over with Mickey Mouse, you know.
Mickey Mouse ears.
Mickey Mouse ears. No, but it was amazing. And it was truly... Truly, a Disneyland experience, a true Disneyland experience. And I haven't been there for many years.
It's been like
30 years since I've been there.
And a lot
of stuff is new there for me, and I loved all the new rides, and some of the old standards were just as magical and awesome. And being there with my girlfriend was just magical. And we got all dressed up in our vintage clothes, and everyone probably thought we were cast members because we got looked at by everybody and people taking pictures of us and wanted to pose with us. And like, I'm like, this is great. We work here. No, and no one confused us, but it was just amazing. And we had we drove down and we stayed at a little funky little place the first night that smelled like curry and cats.
Great.
And there's a sign specifically that says no pets, and yet there's a backyard that's attached to the hotel that is full of feral cats.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're climbing in the trees and climbing on the fences and going meow meow. And we were walking back in, we went for a little walk, and we were walking back in, and we noticed one of the apartments, the window is full of cats, or one of the hotels, the window is full of cats. And I'm like, well, obviously some people live here.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit like, you know, within the first 10 minutes that we were there, I had fixed the toilet. I had fixed the broken plug on the bathtub. I had fixed the handle to the sink, and I fixed the toilet seat as well because it was all falling apart. And then the second day they took our toilet paper. When the maid came in, and we came back, and the toilet paper was gone, and I was like, "What the
she's
hell?"
She's gonna show you to fix shit.
That's what happened to the toilet paper? The last thing you want to do is hurt yourself at this place, believe me. And judging by the blood on the bathroom door, I would say someone hurt themselves there before.
I would not doubt it.
But the second place was great. I'm not going to tell anybody where it was because I'm not going to give away our secret location. But it's now our spot, and it was amazing and beautiful. And it was super close to Disney, and we took a lift in, and we were able to, you know, have drinks. And Megan is like a diehard, serious Disney. She, like, got us on every ride. We hardly had to wait for anything. And we got on, you know, our favorite rides multiple times.
And so my favorite ride at Disneyland the Space Mountain in Disneyland is so much better than Disney World. And I love that ride. It's so fun. And then I love Tower of Terror, which recently got... So it's the same ride, but now they rebranded it.
It's Guardians of the Galaxy now, and Megan just refused. She flat out refused out of principle. She's like, no.
Because she's a Tower of Terror.
Yeah, and that's like a thing I've learned. But here's the thing that I loved about it. And, you know, it always felt magical to me as a kid. It felt exactly the same. I literally didn't think about Donald Trump. I didn't think about, you know, my money troubles. I didn't think about work one single time.
That's
work
awesome.
Didn't
That's
even cross
great.
My mind. Like, I didn't even realize, you know, we were just living in the moment and just having this great time. And, you know, there's like, I don't know how many people are there in a day. I have no idea.
Hundreds
of thousands?
Yes.
Like, I can't even imagine. Everyone was like,
especially in the
amazing.
Dog days of summer right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was no cutting in line. There was nobody was arguing. No one was being a dick. No one seemed like they were in a bad mood at all. It was like, I was like, how often do you get that many people together that are just having a nice time? And, you know, they have dogs outside now with muzzles, and they're really creepy, and they're very menacing. And the cop, you know, the Disney police kind of walk up to you, and the dogs like snip at you. And at this one point, I put my hands up because I felt like that was just a little like rude. So I put my hands up, and the guy let the dog come up and sniff me. And I was like, fine, fucker. I don't care. But it makes you realize, you know, like that they're on top of it in the event that someone would come in and. Mm-hmm. And be a fucking maniac.
And you never like, know when that's going to happen.
It was fine. You know, I was like, that's good. I'm glad they have that there. I'm glad these people are, it kind of gives you a feeling of, you know, what it's like to have a vicious police dog come up and sniff you. It's kind of a weird.
And this was a nice one.
Well, some of them I was like, are you sure? Like, that's just not a vest with the patch on it that says canine, because that dog really looks like a little golden retriever with a missing leg. What? Can it really?
He just licks you.
No, they were vicious killer attack dogs with spikes and blades on their feet.
Oh, wow. They were like street dogs.
Yeah. And I saw the amphitheater where I listened to, where I heard Blue Monday from New Order for the very first time.
Yes.
And I was like, Megan, is there an amphitheater here somewhere? She's like, I don't know. What do you mean? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I went to this concert and like, that's where I heard New Order for the first time, and I didn't know who it was. And I asked my parents if I could go by myself, and like while they rode rides, and I went back and I hung out at this amphitheater and listened to the DJ spin records, and that was fucking awesome. And then we were walking up in some part of the thing, and I looked over and I was like, oh my God, there it is. That's where I heard him for the first time. And like, it was super cool.
That's yeah. So cool.
And now we're both super fucking depressed and upset because we're back. And it wasn't enough time, and we had our truly fucking incredible time.
So you were in the parks for 3 days.
Yeah, from 9 until closing every night.
And you guys never left.
We didn't leave once. No, we were there, man. We were there.
We're
riding everything.
Hardcore.
We're doing everything. We're not coming back.
Is there a Hall of Presidents there?
There's the Abraham Lincoln, but we only got to go into the museum part. We didn't get a chance to go see the show this time. Okay. Where they have the original animatronic.
Yeah.
You know, but like Pirates of the Caribbean, fucking amazing. We went on it 4 times, and like, it's just so incredible. If I know there's people out there who are like, Disneyland's stupid. And I'm like, how could you, like...
No, it's so
iconic.
You might
not like Mickey Mouse and, like, yes. Commercialism and that kind of stuff, but, like, some of these rides are works of art, and they take on a living presence, you know, especially the Pirates ride and the Haunted Mansion and, you know, Peter Pan and all that stuff. They're so surreal, and the art of it is so incredible. I was blown away. And they even updated Pirates, you know, with like Captain Jack Sparrow and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And it was like, I'm like, that's totally cool. It's fine.
It works. It works. They have them in Disney World. They have them like at the very beginning or the very end?
At the end, I think.
Yeah. And then he's sitting in a big throne, right?
Well, they have him hidden in spots throughout the ride. Yes. So I found him. I think I found his 2 spots, but anyway, it was just awesome. And even at the end when the park closes and you're like at the stores, you know, and everybody's shopping and it's just like a fucking mob of people, I was still like, this is exactly how I remember it being little. It was so exciting. Then we stopped at Madonna Inn. Megan wanted to go there, and I was like, I don't know, what the hell's that of? Some kind of motel? I don't know. What, are we going to go look at the lobby or something? And she's like, no, dude, it's fucking amazing. I was like, okay, whatever. And like, I didn't want to go. And then she convinced me to go, and I was like, oh my God, it's amazing here. This is the perfect place to go. I love you so much, honey. And then we had really delicious Madonna cake there, which is pink, you know, buttercream over the top. And we had coffee and sandwiches, and it was just awesome. Now we're home and super hate everything. Hate everything. I don't like it.
Suck it up.
Hand me that whiskey bottle.
I already asked you if I should take a shot of that and just see what happens since I don't drink.
Sounds like you just did.
Yeah, it does. When you weren't looking. No, I would be vomiting still.
Yeah. Yeah.
So today, as we're recording on a day when we usually release an episode, but we'll try and get this out today.
Don't make any mistakes.
We'll cut that part out.
Don't make any mistakes.
So Robin Leach passed away today.
Oh, from?
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous was this, it started as a, we've talked before about Saturday afternoon entertainment and yes. Sunday afternoon entertainment.
Like before anything good came on.
Yeah, so it was like at 2 or 3 o'clock, there would be these syndicated specials, and it would be like 90 minutes of videos. It was video hour, and they just played it one time on a Sunday afternoon. And then there would be, like we said, the Sunday afternoon movie and the Saturday afternoon movie. And then one Sunday, our area played Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. It was a one-off special, but it was so popular that they brought it on as a syndicated
amazing
series. And it was literally like, join us today as we go into the home of the richest people in the world. And it was.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like today where it would be like, you know, like, oh, here's Julia Roberts' house. Like, sure, I mean, she's got a little cash, but she's certainly not the richest. So these were like the richest people, like some of whom are probably in jail now, you know? Like
most of them.
And the host of this was Robin Leach, and he was this English celebrity journalist, is what they called him.
With a very, very strong accent.
Yes, a very interesting, different accent. And he, so he passed away today at the age of 76. Wow. He would open every Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous by saying, join us with champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
Oh, yeah.
So he passed away today at 76 years old. Unfortunately, he suffered a stroke last November, and he has been hospitalized since. Mm. So today he passed away. So very sad.
Aww.
But he was a big part of the 80s. Like, yeah, not only just that, totally, but he became just like this celebrity journalist. So he would do little, like, Barbara Walters, like, specials. And he was like a pundit a bunch about, like, the Oscars. And
I watched that show with my sister all the time, I remember.
Yeah.
All the time.
And you would just see these things that none of us had really seen before or would ever see in our lives. And it was like, you know, these huge yachts and private planes with three stories.
And interviews with these total assholes.
Total, like, asshole. Probably
what was
more
the
than
one
like
guy? What did he say? He's like, it's not that you make money. It's that you make money and you do what you want with it.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, that makes no sense at all.
Khashoggi.
He's probably dead, right?
He is probably dead. And I do believe, because he was the richest man in the world. Mm. And so that was like, that. What we watched today was like a special just about him. Usually there was 3 or 4 millionaires on each episode. And this one was just about him, the richest man in the world.
I mean, millionaires probably wouldn't even be on the list now. They're like, yeah, sorry, you're a millionaire, but you're not a billionaire.
Yeah, so you're not a billionaire. And so he was a big part of the 80s, and he really like kind of cemented his star. Unfortunately, he passed away in a very tragic way. So that, I also know that there's a bunch of stuff going on right now in our country, in this world, but read up on that and be aware of it, but we're just going to keep it lighter.
In the words, you know, Don't believe the hype. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, don't believe the
hype. It's just, you know, whatever. I mean, everybody gets caught up in it, and they're like, everybody thinks it's the fucking nail in the coffin and the other side, and I'm like, even if it is, even if it was, which is not, even if it was, the sides are so polarized at this point, and they're so, like, everybody's ready to go off. And
if, Everybody.
Anyway, so yeah, don't believe the hype. Stay informed, do what you can, but don't let it suck you in, because it's a fucking, it's just entertainment. That's all it is at this point. And people eat it up. And, you know, Megan and I, we didn't pay any attention to the news for, you know, for 3 days. And I turn on my phone, you know, and, oh my God, this is it. It's gonna, the whole thing is gonna be impeached and blah, 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 and all this stuff happened. And I'm like,
no, you won't.
What, you guys, really?
No.
And then I looked into it and I was like, it doesn't sound like that. It just sounds like everybody's talking about a thing that happened again. Another thing.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm,
that'd be great.
I'm not wrong.
Some other asshole will fill in his spot.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So, like I said, we're going to keep it light.
Yeah. Well, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about a subject that we thought of yesterday.
That's because I am exhausted.
Yes. And you've got the Disney sweats, as we like to call them.
I slept really hard on that trip. But, you know, we would come home at like 1 or 1, probably be, so the park closed at midnight. So we'd get home about around 1, 12:30 or 1. And then we would, but we had been at the park all day in the blazing hot sun.
Oh my God, yes.
And it just was exhausting. And literally like lay our heads down and like out, wake up in the morning, get ready, go, and do the same thing over again. And then the drive home was very exhausting as well. And we were tired and we just wanted to be out of the car. And so anyway, every time I took a nap yesterday and I took a nap today and the same thing happened. I woke up and I literally felt like somebody injected my body with some sort of, you know, sleep serum while I was, I was like, did I get bit by a spider or something? Like, I cannot get up. Like, I feel like my body is just full of like, I felt like the poppy scene in, you know, Wizard of Oz. I was like, Anyway, back to reality.
Back to life. Back to reality. Okay.
Good thing we can edit this.
No. But I edit it, so I do not take the singing out.
You loop it.
So you asked what the subject was today. I said that it was something we thought of yesterday, but I don't think we said it.
That's okay. No one needs to know.
So anyway, my favorite of this subject is...
the one thing that we were going to talk about.
Yeah. Good night. All right.
Concerts.
That was very aggressive. Concerts.
Concert memories. Going to concerts. Going to shows.
Memories.
Going to all the bands that we loved, that we listened to on the radio, and bands that we saw that we maybe never heard on the radio. Bands that I saw that I never heard on the radio.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not where I'm from.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing that just came to mind, and it has nothing to do with this subject. No, it does. A little bit. So
we should keep this super, super obscure and never quite touch on it. Like, get close to talking about it, but never quite reach through.
Do you remember Martika? I went to go see her. You know what? But her best song. And those bolero jackets. But so one thing, just to quickly kind of put a little frame on this and focus our shit. I'm looking you straight in the eyes. Fucking do it. So.
Don't go on the Finding Nemo ride. That's the thing. Do not go on Finding Nemo.
Oh, we're going to get hate mail.
Because. I mean, my memory of the submarine ride of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was like these, you know, military submarines that were painted gray and you go and there's a giant squid and there's all this cool shit. Well, this time it's like they're painted yellow. And they look like the yellow submarine, so that's stupid. And then, on top of that, it's a bunch of CGI fish swimming around that are making fun and swimming in circles and stuff. And they took out the sunken shipyard, and they took out the lost city of Atlantis. Mm. They took out everything.
You hate it when fish are making
Megan
fun.
Megan was like trying, she's like, babe, it sucks. It sucks. And I'm like, Megan, I want to go on it because it was my favorite ride when I was a kid. And I don't care if it sucks. And we're like halfway through the ride. I'm like, it smells like vomit in here. and I want to get off. She's like, you can't. We still have 3 minutes. And I'm like, fuck. So anyway, concerts.
Oh, by the way, we got an email about your... we got an email about your no original dogs.
Oh, really? That should have been the name of the episode.
And so basically, this person who... This woman who wrote mm-hmm. is a dog expert, and she says that there are original dogs.
Oh, cool.
There are pure breeds that do exist. Okay. So someone wanted to let us know that.
Fact checking.
Because it's so interesting, because you said, you know what? There are original dogs. You said, you know what? I'm going to like...
I take back what I said about... I take back what I said about corgis.
All right, now listen. This fucking episode's about concerts.
Or is it?
You know that latest Tig Notaro special that we've talked about before, uh-huh. where she just keeps going and going and going for so many minutes and people probably turn it off?
That's
what's happening.
This is like a bad attempt at that.
Okay, so here's what I was going to say, and I'm just going to say it. Because you said local bands are bands that people don't know. Mm-hmm. So I didn't so much... We didn't have like a concert place... where it was just like a club, mm-hmm. where a band who was just starting, or they may have like a hit on alternative radio mm-hmm. or something like that, or punk bands. We didn't really have a place for them to uh-huh. come in Fargo, Moorhead, North Dakota, Minnesota. So it's when I graduated from high school, or no, not even, like the summer before my senior year, there were a few... under 18, like 16 and over clubs that you could go to. And
that's awesome. We had some too in Santa Cruz.
There was like two or three. And in Minnesota, in Moorhead, Minnesota, Fargo, Moorhead are connected by a bridge. And so we would go there and we would see these really, really cool, oh my God, really cool bands. There was one called The Phones, and we would just go and see them wherever they played. And they had albums, and there was another one, I don't remember what they were called, but I really liked them and I had their album, and they did a cover of Up the Ladder to the Roof. So we would go there and dance and at the club and watch them play. Like, that was such a cool memory. And it was such a like 80s thing. Like, yeah. I don't know how many 16 and over clubs there are in the world now.
No.
And so that was really fun. And, you know, I'd wear a blazer with like a brooch and all that stuff.
Yep. Yep.
But my first concert was at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds, and it was Survivor.
What?
Survivor.
Wait, I don't know if you've ever told me that.
Eye of the Tiger. Wow. Survivor. That's who was the headliner. And I cannot remember who opened, but concerts for us were a big part of the fair. So the Red River Valley Fair had, I want to say, every night of the like 2 week fair, or at least every other night, there was a big show. Like there was, because it was in the Midwest and North Dakota, it was lots of country acts.
Uh-huh.
So my parents went to go see Willie Nelson.
Oh, cool.
Right? That would have been cool in the 80s, like at his height. Like Honeysuckle Rose time.
Yeah.
And through the years, that's where we would go.
We need to do an 80s country episode.
No, I know we do.
Do we even have that written down, though?
Hold, please. Why don't you vamp? Why don't you rant again about something that Disney did wrong? That was a good one. All right, I'll go. 80s country's written down.
Okay. I got to meet Chewbacca.
Well, you did.
Anyway.
Can we post that picture of you meeting Chewbacca on our social media?
Yeah, definitely.
I think the people would really enjoy that.
Yeah.
So the Red River Valley Fairgrounds, even when the fair wasn't going on, that's where you went to go see shows.
Okay.
So the significant show for me was Survivor. And the reason that it was significant was, now that I'm thinking of it, it was during the fall time. And so there was no fair, right? So it was just like an empty fairgrounds with the big barns and everything. And then the racetrack, where the concerts are held, right? Because there's stands
so
and stuff.
Awesome.
Grandstand. And so I was waiting in line, and I was, I can't even remember who I was with. Someone my age, and then two bigger boys, like two older boys than us, from our school. Like, we were probably like freshmen, and they were seniors. And they saw us and like took us under their wing. And that moment on, like, I would go to concerts with them.
Nice.
And I've mentioned one of them before here. So Carter and Eric, his best friend Eric, and they would take care of me and take me to concerts. And it was so cool because they were like the older boys, yeah. right? And they were like the cool guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, they took me to see Def Leppard. And
wow.
We saw, other heavier metal stuff, because mm-hmm. that's what they were in, like Motley Crue and like wow. stuff like that. And that was just such a cool memory because he like took me on as like a mentee, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
And now I look at his social media and he's just like this cool guy and he's like a triathlete. And Eric is the head of beef studies at the university and like wow. trying to get the, you know, the beef to be good to people. That's the wrong way to put it. Please don't listen to this. And the Beef Council. I'm going to stop saying beef as much as I'm going to try and stop saying that. Beef. And so, like, concerts to me were like a big deal because not that many came. Not that many people came through. I mean, I'm sure they, you know, Minneapolis was like 3 hours away, so people would go there. But yeah, that concert, actually not that one. So the year after, I went to go see the one I really wanted to go see. And that was Till Tuesday.
Wow, that's a good one.
Opening for Rick Springfield.
Oh, geez. Somebody switched that billing by accident.
They had only had the one song then.
And he had like 10 probably by then.
This was like the third album after Jesse's yeah. Girl, right? So yeah. there was like
that,
he had a bunch of hits.
That album is great, actually.
Yes. And I want to say Affair of the Hearts on that one. And like
Human Touch.
Human Touch.
Yeah.
And so I had on one of those. I'm going to try and find it so I can post it. But I had on one of those pullover 80s things, and it had a pocket right in the middle.
Those ponchos? Those Mexican ponchos?
No, it wasn't a Mexican poncho. Okay. It was like a nylon pullover.
Okay.
But they were real big. They were real preppy big. And it had a big pouch in the middle, like by the chest. Mm. And I looked down. I looked down like this, and I was with my little like second cousin, Steve, and he was like 2 years younger than I was, and I was the big boy then, right? And I looked down, and I saw a pack of Marlboro Lights at my feet in the middle of the racetrack,
gold,
right? And
gold.
I was like, well, I guess I'm not against that. And I
especially because I don't have to buy them that way.
Yeah, exactly. And I looked down, and I got it, and it was a fresh pack. It was all still in the plastic. I smoked my first cigarette.
Wow.
My first cigarette of like 22 years of smoking. I smoked for a long time after that first pack. Wreck fucking Rick Springfield.
Wow.
Go back to Australia.
You should write a thank you letter to Marlboro for that.
Dear Marlboro.
Just wanted to say.
Hugs and
I didn't
kisses.
Find anything. You know, I didn't find anything at Disneyland. I thought I was going to find a bunch of shit everywhere.
Well, do we talk so... I think maybe we have, but wherever we go, whatever we do, we'll always be into sisters or whatever it is. We can just be having a conversation and we're walking and Tom finds everything, anything that you would ever want. Tom's like, oh yeah, here it is. He just finds it on the street.
I find all kinds of stuff. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I mean, there was nothing at Disneyland. They keep that place so clean and it's so nice. It's so great. There's nothing spilled anywhere. There's no straws, freaking coffee lids. There's nothing. Everything is spotless there. It's really nice. And I look down and I'm like, oh my God, it's a fucking Mickey Mouse coin. That is so fucking cool. And I picked it up and I was like, Megan, look. And she's like, that's so awesome. She's like, I can't believe you found that. And I'm like, I have been looking for 3 days for something here. This is the first thing I've even found on the ground. There's not even pigeons here. Like, it's so fucking clean.
And what is that coin used for? Is it just a tourist thing?
Yeah, it's like a challenge. I thought it was like a challenge coin. You know what those are?
No.
they're from the military. It's a coin that, you know, you can give to someone as a little gift. And so I was super stoked, and it's like red, white, and blue, and I'm like, that's so cool. And I put it in my pocket, and then we rode a bunch of rides, and it was really hot outside. And then at one point I put my camera in my front pocket, my phone in my front pocket for a minute. And the next time I reached in, I put it, and I was like, and I got my phone out, and there was like something all over it. And I was like, what the fuck is on my camera? What the fuck? And I was like, my hand was covered in it, and it was like brown and melty. And I was like, what? What is this?
Oh, God.
And I'm looking, and all of a sudden I'm like, I must have set my phone down in something. Oh, well. And so I start to clean it off, and I realize that it's chocolate, that the coin in my pocket that I found is actually a piece of chocolate, and it's not a coin at all. And it's melted in my pocket. And my phone, just yesterday, I finally got all the chocolate off of it. So anyway, good times.
Welcome back to the Disneyland Spectacular with Tom Gayagios.
Oh, I wish I was there.
And featuring Hank Hedlund. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You gotta like Disney for this one. It is called the Disneyland Spectacular, after all.
I better get a free fast pass, a free park hopper for this.
I better write that
down. With all the advertising I'm doing for them.
This should probably be the name of the
episode.
They're
gonna have a big year.
So what was your first concert?
Well, my very first concert ever was the Beach Boys, actually.
Oh.
At Laguna Seca when we went to a race one time.
Fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. I think it was probably 1980. Could have been like 79, 80, 81. I don't know. Somewhere in there. It was my very, very first concert, and I was very young. And it was awesome. We had so much fun. And our family was a big Beach Boys family. And so we got to sing along to everything, and we were at the raceway, and my dad just loves cars and Formula One cars, and it was just great. It was just an awesome memory. And so I'm always happy to say that my very first concert was like a classic band, you know, like that had been around for several years, and well, 20 years at that point, probably. So not super long, but so that was my very, very, very first concert. My second concert was at 16 and over new wave dance that they had at the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium in 1984. So I was 14, and they opened it up, and there was a live band playing, this guy named Max Strom. And Max Strom was apparently a local new romantic new wave artist, and his big hit single of that year was called American Girl. And he did it like three times. but it was for a Halloween dance that they held there. And so all the music was like new wave, you know, DJ spinning new wave. And then it was this guy, Max Strom. And that was like the first time I went to a concert by myself of like my kind of music. And so that was a huge, huge, big deal. And being at the Santa Cruz Civic was amazing. It's a beautiful old venue. It's been around for many years and many, many, many famous and prestigious bands and artists have played there. It's just awesome. And so that was my very first concert where I went alone with my friends, you know, and like spiked up my hair on the side and like, you know, put my jacket with like, you know, my pants pegged and probably a brooch and a trench coat. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I talk a lot about recording TV shows and then playing them over and over. So I used to do that a lot with concerts that they would play on PBS. Because they played a lot. Just different shows that they had taped live. And then also Austin City Limits.
Oh, wow.
Right? So that was, I don't know if that's still around, but that was big then. But so they would play full shows. I remember seeing Tina Turner for the first time where they played a concert from like the 70s.
Oh, wow.
And they played a lot of the Elvis concerts. And a Fleetwood Mac, Fleetwood Mac show, and it was on like at 10 o'clock the night before I started eighth grade, and eighth or ninth grade, and I kept sneaking downstairs to try and see it because you're excited for the next day, and so they did Rhiannon, and I remember Stevie Nicks saying. Because it went on and on and on and on and on. And at the end, she looked back and she had a tear in her eye. And she said, they've never let me keep going on that. They've never let me play it this long. And they're all like, not into her. And so it was just really, that was like a memory that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And so even today, if there is a live show of someone, I'm going to want to have it. That's the music I want to listen to rather than even the albums that they're from. I want to listen to them played live. So I have a big collection of live.
I love live stuff. It's so much different, and it does give you more of a concert feel. And, you know, I have some live, you know, Depeche Mode and some live New Order and things like that. And I love those records. I love being able to hear the band kind of talk and, like, the slight difference of the sound, you know, or how they play it slightly different because they play the same song for, you know, 2 months in a row or whatever. And
well, it's just, for me, concerts were really scary. I thought they were a very scary thing before I went to one because my sisters are all older than I am. So like 10, 9, and 5 years older than I am. So my oldest sisters went, or one of them went to go see Alice Cooper.
Oh, wow.
In like, you know, 79 or 80 at that time. And that's when you were hearing all these horrible things that he did on stage. And, you know, like he pisses on the crowd and, you know, bites a frog's leg off and spits the blood. Like, and, you know, I'm sure none of that should happen. But he did put on like this big macabre show.
I remember the Aussie rumors were that he, you know, bit the heads off of rats. Yeah. Or bats. That's what it was. Bit the heads off of bats.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's just so hardcore. You
know, yeah, like stuff like that was scary. And then they went to go see Kiss.
Yeah, right.
When they were still in the makeup. You know, it was like 83 or 84 when they went out of the makeup. That was a big deal, too. We should talk about Kiss. But so they had these stories, you know, these stories of these scary shows that they went to go see. So I was like, oh, my God, this is like awful. Oh, I'm so scared. And then I saw Survivor and I was like, oh, everything's fine. Puff, puff on my cigarette. But so, yeah, like HBO, I don't know why I said that. Yeah. HBO. We talked about, when we talked about Diana Ross a few weeks ago, her comeback or something, she had that big HBO famous concert. I used it for one of our posters that I put out and the cover. And so HBO was known then for like bringing you these exclusive shows and still are. Like they play a lot of Madonna's live shows and Lady Gaga and all that stuff now. And so they did Diana Ross, and then the concert that like everyone was waiting for, and it was the comeback. She hadn't performed in like 15 years anywhere, and it was Barbara Streisand.
Oh, wow.
And she did a concert in her backyard in Malibu with her closest Hollywood friends.
Oh, nice.
And so that was her concert, but they played that live. Or yeah, they played it live. And then, you know,
on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Yes,
exactly. This egomaniac has a concert in her backyard. By the way, I've never listened to a full Barbra Streisand song. I'm not that kind of gay.
I don't know. I saw pictures of her once.
Hey, I'm sure she's a wonderful person.
You know, I didn't really go. The concerts that I went to in the 80s were less concerts than I would say shows. You know, versus concert versus the punk band or the mod band or the ska band.
Yes, playing. Shows, yeah.
You know, so like
at a club or at a small theater.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had the two of the 16 and over clubs we had were the Ace Club, which was more mod and ska. And then there was Club Soda Pop, which was like, you know, new wave and all that kind of cool stuff. But they didn't really have live bands. I got into live bands from going to punk shows, which were all over Santa Cruz. You could go and going up to Berkeley in the 80s, riding our scooters and meeting our mod friends in the Berkeley mod scene and going to, I just forgot the name of the street. There was a big street there where all the mods hung out and it just zipped out right out of my mind.
Zipped like a scooter? Zoom.
But that's we saw all the cool mod bands there. And one of those guys that I remember watching back then went on to be in a band called Cake.
Yeah,
and he's in that band now. Zan McCurdy. And he was a Berkeley mod back in the 80s. And I remember going to see him play. In fact, another friend of mine, Nick Rossi, who lives in San Francisco and is still a musician to this day. We kind of were reintroduced to each other about 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we were talking and we had this conversation and all of a sudden we looked at each other and he's like, do I know you? And I was like, wait.
I remember that.
Yeah. Like, do I know you? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I used to go see your band. There was all these cool mod bands back then, the Loved Ones and the Quagmires and
nice.
Just like these really cool, you know, power pop and mod bands, The Question and all this stuff. And so I got to go see those a lot, you know, and local punk shows of bands I don't even know who they were. So that was kind of like when I started going to concerts. It, like in 1990, I went to see Depeche Mode at the Shoreline Amphitheater.
Uh-huh.
And that was like a huge, huge big deal. That was my first major, major concert.
And that, I mean, that was that big tour. And
it was just the world's greatest album.
Yes. Yes, people may not know that you love Depeche Mode.
They might not. They may not know that.
The array of different types of music that I was able to see, it seemed like a lot of it was more of the harder rock stuff that came through, because uh-huh. that's kind of an easy sell for that area at that time. So, like Def Leppard and
amazing. All I never that saw stuff. Anything like that back then.
Yeah? Mm-mm. No, I saw them outside. Then I saw a doubleheader at the NDSU Old Field House, which I'm sure has been torn down for many, many years now, decades. I saw Richard Marx.
Oh, wow.
And Richard Marx open for REO Speedwagon.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was that big hit that they had.
Either
in the
one
80s.
Could open and it was, would have been the same.
Yes. And then I saw Survivor again at the Old Field House. But then the one that, like, I was like, I'm excited. I'm very excited. And that was Gloria Estefan
and
the Miami Sound Machine.
Jeez.
Outside at the fairgrounds. And that was just like so like fun and summer and it had all the horns and it was just music that wasn't played in Fargo, North Dakota. And so that was neat. That was really fun.
Well, in 1982 or 83, probably both those years, my parents were, they were both photographers, and they got into making magnets and prints of their photography and selling it at art fairs, at street fairs. And so there was a couple years where, you know, in the summertime, we would go around to these street fairs in different places and stay in a little motel, and they would set up their little displays and sell the photographs, and these photographs of their magnets. Or magnets of their photographs and things like that. And I think I've told the story about where that was, you know, I got challenged to a breakdance there one time. You know, I was walking down, I saw these kids, and I walked up with my parachute pants and my, you know, my double belt hanging down and my fedora cocked to the side with a bandana wrapped around it. And this kid came up to me and he like, and he did like the, you know, he did like the pop and lock thing and like challenged me. And I like turned around and walked away. I was like, get me out of here. But that was in Concord, California, which is very close to here. It's just, you know, less than 30 minutes away from here. And I saw this cover band there called Jump. And the cover band, you know, they played in the middle of the day and it was the Van Halen cover band.
It was either Van Halen or Pointer Sisters.
Yeah. It was a Van Halen cover band called Jump. And the guy dressed just like David Lee Roth with the tight, you know, leotard and jogging shoes. I don't know what he wore.
Jogging shoes.
And like he thought he was so
he
hot.
He wore tight parachute pants with bandanas around the thigh.
If only he dressed that nice.
And like little boots. Remember he wore little.
He was so gross. He was like just gross.
Who the. David Lee Roth or the
guy? Yeah, he's so gross.
No, he
is. Is he still alive?
Yes.
I bet he looks great now.
I believe that would be open to interpretation.
Anyway, it was just the greatest event. I had so much fun, though, and I loved seeing the band, and, like, you know, I thought it was just great. I loved it. I loved it. I was really into that album, 1984.
So, I do have a picture of, I did type in I did type in, so there's a lot of information that just came up. I just typed in David Lee Roth 2018. A lot of stuff came up, including this photo I'm about to show you. But the main thing is that he's a big Trump supporter.
Oh, interesting. Well,
which isn't a big stretch, I don't think.
Okay. Wow.
You know, if you, you know what? It's good for him. I'm glad. Good for him. I'm glad he kept his long hair. Good for him. But wait, did you ever see like a big band like that? Like a Rocky?
No.
That kind of no. Van Halen-y, Def Leppard-y thing?
Never saw anything like that. No. It was mostly DJs. And, you know, I was in like a music scene. So my music scene was small. And the music that I liked was I could see regularly. Anywhere. We went to San Jose a lot to go see ska bands play. In 1989, I went to the Berkeley Greek Theater and went to the International Ska Festival.
Oh, but that was fun.
It was amazing. It was really incredible. The English Beat played, or members of the English Beat played, a band called Durango 95. I remember played. They were a great two-tone ska band. The Potato Five. I mean, it was awesome. You know, No Doubt could have played there. I have no idea. Like, I need to look up and see if there's a list of who played there. I still have the ticket to it, but we rode our scooters up.
I mean, No Doubt started in 89, right?
Yeah, so they could have played there too. Yep. I have no idea. But it was great. It was really, really something. And the Scottalites played. And I saw the Scottalites a few times, actually, from Jamaica. And they... I think there's only a couple surviving members. They're an old, old band from the 60s, late 50s and early mid-60s.
You and I saw a show, I really have no idea when, I think in the last year.
It was February. It was Valentine's Day.
No, that was almost 2 years ago. But we saw a show with your sister and brother-in-law, and that was Reverend Horton Heat.
Yes.
But opening for him was the... very famous
Fishbone. Yes, and Fishbone was awesome because that was probably my first real concert, and that was at in the 80s, and that was at a place called One Step Beyond.
Okay.
And One Step Beyond was a really cool club, I think, out in Campbell, and that's where everyone went that was into new wave. They had DJs there, they had all, even into the early 90s, they had raves there. And so it was really that, it was really geared towards alternative music, that place, One Step Beyond. And, you know, One Step Beyond, it's like a play on words from a Madness song, a ska song. So it was a hit place to be. It was all painted flat black everywhere, you know, black light posters and stuff like that. But we went to see Fishbone. The Untouchables opened for them, which was another really great ska band, I think from Southern California. I'm not positive about that. They're probably not at all. They're probably from like New York or something. Maybe not even there, Michigan. but that Fishbone concert was the loudest concert I've ever been to. And I remember my ears ringing for like 3 days afterwards. And I remember coming home from that and trying to lay down and go to bed. And all I heard was,
yes.
And it was like so loud in my head that I couldn't deal. And that was my first experience with like too loud of music. And so I felt good that when we went to see him last year, or I think it was maybe about last year, a couple years ago.
It was in the last few months, nine, 10 months. Yeah.
That the sound was a lot better.
And they were so great still.
Yeah.
The lead singer is still the same lead singer, and he was great.
I think they're almost all the same band members. There's a couple new guys.
It was fun. So a thing that I remember a lot is that my parents would go to concerts because of where we were. Once again, there were so many country acts that came through. So they saw Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton on a circular stage when they toured together as like a duo, and Merle Haggard.
Nice.
And remember Johnny Paycheck?
Oh, yeah.
They saw Johnny Paycheck. And the thing that, once again, because I always loved everything live, I liked to watch live concerts. Mm-hmm. We talked about how, you know, it was mind-blowing for me to see Madonna's first concert tour when she had just hit, so she was in smaller theaters. But they... put it out on VHS. And so I could live through that. I could watch that mm-hmm. because I wasn't going to see her anytime soon because she wasn't going to be in Fargo. And so Dirty Dancing for me was a really big movie. Dirty Dancing for me was like a big deal. I loved it. I took my girlfriend Pam there and she was like, oh, why are we here? And I was like, I just think it's good. And
then, just be quiet and watch it.
Just be quiet. Could you put on this fake beard?
Hold my hand.
Yeah, after the beard. And so Dirty Dancing was huge. So then at the video store, what do I see? Well, they had taken the success of this movie was a phenomenon, right? Like it was a humongous hit, biggest movie of the year. And so they very smartly brought anyone who was still alive from those two soundtracks that they released, including Eric Carmen, who did Hungry Eyes, and they made it a stage show with most of the dancers from the movie.
Interesting.
And so they made, and it was a concert. It wasn't like a musical. It was a concert with these people. So it was this really great female singer. Oh, I've got to find her name. But she headlined it. And then Eric Carmen came out with his big hair and sang Hungry Eyes. And then they played a version of Patrick, or they played Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. Yes. And then they did the dance. And then I want to close my... The Righteous Brothers dude and Jennifer Warren came out and they toured with it. And then the dancers did the big, you know, catch thing. And so I watched that over and over and over. So it's like the kitschier, the better. And then I loved Fame, the show Fame. Uh-huh. And it was on NBC for a couple years and then it became syndicated and it ran for like six more years. So they would go on tour as well. And so every once in a while on a Saturday, they would play a Fame live in concert. Mm-hmm. And that's where I saw for the first time Janet Jackson in concert because she was a series regular on Fame.
Wow. You saw so many more big shows than I did. It's crazy.
Yeah, but they were all on TV.
Well, that's okay.
Those two. But we did go to, I mean, every time there was a concert, I tried to go. Mm-hmm. I remember tickets were like $15. And that was big then too. But I wanted to get out of that fucking little town. I wanted to go do something that made me feel like a big shot. How much do I owe you for this session? If I don't cry, it's less, right? So the woman who was like the headliner of that Dirty Dancing tour, by the way, just came into my mind, was Mary Clayton. Uh-huh. Who then, from that, got a lead role in Made to Order with Ally Sheedy, which was a real big thing in like 89.
Ally Sheedy, man.
Right? We'll have to do we're going to do a Brat Pack episode. Yeah. It's written down. So, I'm sorry, I think you were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say it's, you know, it wasn't in the 80s. You know, it was really in 1990 that I started going to like concerts because I had friends that had cars and, yeah. and we were able to like get out of town and stuff. But in 1993, I got to see New Order and I feel like they should get an honorable mention here because they're an 80s band. And,
no, and it's part of you.
So but it was fine. Awesome. It was at the Shoreline Amphitheater on July 24th, 1993. The second song they played was Regret. And so they opened up with Ruined in a Day, which is kind of a mellow sort of trip-hop kind of song. And then all of a sudden it was all... Da, 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 mm, and I was all... I just started bawling and I was so happy I couldn't believe it. 808 stayed open for them and also The, ooh. Which is another cool 80s band.
The.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that because it's one of... Matthew Johnston... He was one dude, and he brought other people in, but that's... The is someone that we need to talk about. Mm-hmm. They're important.
Yeah. But the Shoreline is also where I had seen Depeche Mode that I just talked about in 1990. Mm-hmm. And that was also in July. That was July 21st, 1990, and that was for the Violator tour.
My God.
It was amazing. It was amazing. They opened with World in My Eyes. And I was like, oh my God. And it was just epic. It was just fucking epic.
Like, if you don't, when we're done with this podcast, if you don't immediately turn on Violator and listen to it all the way through,
You can't just listen to part of Violator. That's the thing.
No, it's got to from the first song. It's got to be from the beginning to the end.
It's just a package deal.
But I think you'd be super, super silly not to do that.
I agree. Don't be silly.
Yeah, don't be silly.
I mean, seriously. Knights of Ebb opened for them. And I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, wow, I do. So
that was pretty cool because they're kind of like that industrial sort of dance stuff.
German.
Yeah, this is very like...
trip-hop.
Dung, dung, dung. But it was just great. It was just great. So, my big concerts really came into the 90s, in my 20s. Mm-hmm. Before that, like I said, it was primarily small shows and... seeing live bands at the fair, like you were talking about, but no one that I ever remember. Just some band, and you go, "Yeah, cool, great, whatever."
Fine.
You're so bad, I will never remember you. Even in my fondest childhood memories, I will not remember you.
Going into the 90s a little bit is when I moved to California, and when I moved and I lived in Santa Cruz, California, so. I was young, but I didn't go to college there. Mm-hmm. So I was that age of the people that I was friends with, but they were all in college.
Yeah.
And so I would make friends with people who went to college. So therefore, I went to a lot of parties, college parties. College parties in Santa Cruz, California are not your average party because there's no fraternities or sororities. It's not part of that. College, and it's very, especially in the early 90s, like 1990, it was very like, hey man, like it was very much like that. And then heavy arts programs and so I would go, and there would be a lot of house parties where my buddy's band is playing, so it'd be like little punk bands like in a living room. And so I do remember a lot of that, and I loved that type of show atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I was wearing a black turtleneck and a necklace made out of an old fork that someone had given me, and a black turtleneck. And I was like, I don't fit in here. I'm not wearing the right costume.
I
feel very uncomfortable.
I saw Book of Love in 1990 as well. It was great. Remember Book of Love? You don't remember Book of Love?
Yeah, the band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, why are you staring at me with a blank look on your face? Like, who is this asshole?
Well, I mean, that wasn't about that.
But they're another 80s band. So yeah. I feel like honorable mention for them.
Well, and so then from that, seeing that little punk show, then I really got into punk. And I really got into like hanging out with people who were in it, and I was too, and I loved every single little tiny band, and I loved it when they thrashed around and like had a big tribe around it.
Yeah.
And I missed that, like when you are in that situation, it feels a little dangerous, and oh boy, just made you feel young, huh?
Yeah.
Oh boy, gonna have to help me down the stairs.
Well, being a DJ for all these years, for 2.5 decades, I've seen a lot of concerts. I've seen a lot of shows now. And because I get to DJ for a lot of shows, and with little bands and stuff, I've gotten more under my belt in the last 25 years than my first 25 years of my life, for sure. And I was really involved with the music scene back then. But now, being a DJ, I can't even count how many bands I've seen now. I mean, I couldn't possibly count. I used to have a list. A going list of all the bands that I performed with. Wonder whatever happened to that list. It's on MySpace.
Oh, bro? Everything's on MySpace. Yeah. Everyone's best stuff is on MySpace.
I haven't been on Facebook for like 2 months now, and like I turn it on and all it is a bunch of invites to like nothing, and I'm like, what is this? What's going on with Facebook?
Yeah, it's very different than it used to be.
People are like,
a podcast?
How are you not going to be able to live with it? You're not going to be able to live without it. And I'm like, no, actually.
Instagram.
I mean, I do like my friends and stuff, but like.
Instagram.
I just don't like it. Yeah. So rate, review, follow us on Instagram.
And Facebook for that matter. How are you feeling?
I feel great. I feel like. I feel like I keep hearing rides.
You keep waking up having dreams.
And I keep hearing like people screaming and yelling in like a fun way. Like having like
like
being joyful.
Yeah.
And
Well, I will say your girlfriend on her Instagram stories kept putting up all of the photos that was that were taken on the rides, you know, like the ride camera.
Yeah.
And so she kept putting up in her story. So like for a few seconds, I would see her like looking at the camera, all pretty and gorgeous and beautiful. Uh-huh. And then you were like terrified, or your eyes are closed and your mouth is open.
There's one specific, the Splash Mountain, which is like the logger ride, which I've always loved, but I don't like getting wet.
Yeah, no, you certainly don't.
But we went at night. And we're standing in line, and I watched the people go down that drop, and I was like, whoa, that's the drop we're about to go down? And she's like, well, yeah. She's like, it's really not that bad. And I'm like, I have this annoying fear on roller coasters of the drop.
Yeah.
And that, it goes back many, many years, I used to be afraid of it, but I would still love rides. And I didn't go on rides for about 20 years. I didn't go on rides because I was scared of the drop. And so a couple years ago, I went to Six Flags with my sister and my family, and my niece and nephew were like, Uncle Tommy, you're going on the ride with us, right? I'm like, and they're like, come on, Uncle Tommy, it's not that bad. I'm like, all right. And I go, and of course, it's fucking horrifying for like 3 minutes, like just torture and horrific fear and adrenaline. But I'm with my girlfriend, and I'm like, I'm going to go on every single ride. And I did, and I was really good at it. But those drops really get me. The rest, upside down, fine. Spinning around, corkscrews, you know, that kind of shit, totally fine. Going straight ahead at 8 billion miles an hour, totally fine. Do not drop me down a 90-degree incline.
For a long time.
For a minute. I don't care for how long. Just don't do it.
It's not a minute. It's probably 5 seconds, but it seems forever.
Yeah, but I had a great time and facing my fear. And I got into the fun and the fear of it. I was like, you know what? I was scared. I really was.
Well, I'm glad you didn't do the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, because that is just a series. Like, it's not a roller coaster. You just drop.
Yeah, that ride didn't even exist. Megan's like, don't even look at it. Do not look.
No, I know
there.
A lot of the diehards are not happy that it's this shiny thing. Yeah. When it was this really cool thing.
I think
thing.
It looks cool. And I saw both of the Guardians of the Galaxy films, and I thought they were great. I thought they were actually phenomenal.
Yeah.
They were really, really,
they are.
Really
They're
good.
They're super fun.
But she's like, it was so cool. It was like so old time. It was. Fashion. It was like an old hotel. She's like, you would have fucking loved
it.
It
was a Twilight Zone thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the one thing we didn't get to go on that we really wanted to was the soaring ride in California Adventure.
Yeah. Do you like lay down for that?
I think you sit in it and it's like flies you like you're flying over America or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they did such a good job on everything. And all the new rides are really cool. I mean, they really, really are cool. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I just let myself be there and
I'm writing ABC Disney to see if someone can help us with this podcast, because do you know how many people have never heard of Disney and now we've informed them?
I mean, it's really thanks to us. You know, I was concerned, you know, we were driving through the Central Valley and over the Grapevine. And of course, you see all the signs on the side of the road that are like, you know, Barbara Boxer made this a modern American Dust Bowl. Give us our water. Barbara Boxer wants to steal our water. And all we want to do is water our plants. And I'm like looking and going, first of all the water is at fucking Disneyland. That's why you don't have any farms, people. That's why your fucking plants are dying. That's why your fucking millions and millions of acres of almonds, which suck up water like water, are dying.
Good analogy.
Because it's all down there. It's all at Disneyland. And I was sitting here going, Megan, how much water does Disneyland use in a day? And she's like, I don't know. And I looked it up and it was like 1.6 billion gallons per day that they use. Over like a year, it's like some astronomical number. And I was like, oh my God, 40% of Disneyland is water.
Whoa.
And I was like, that is actually super fucking cool. I got to go on the pirate ship. I got to meet Chewbacca. I got to meet Boba Fett. They really did the Star Wars stuff well, I think, you know. I mean, all the models and the uniforms, the costumes, and, you know, the blasters and all the lightsabers. And it was awesome.
I'm so glad it was.
And then
awesome.
One guy came up to us because we were charging our phone, which you weren't supposed to do. And so we were charging our phone, and he came up, and this other woman's like, oh, there's an outlet right here. And it's like, oh, great, because she was sitting down plugging hers in. So we plugged ours in, and Megan sat down, and this guy came up, and he's like, feet on the floor, please. And he's like, you can't do that. You can't do that. And he reached for the plug and he went to unplug my phone. And I was like, I swatted his hand out of the way and I said, don't touch my phone, please. I'll unplug it. It's okay. And I unplugged it. It was just, I felt like that was very rude. Like, you don't need to unplug the phone for me. I'm an adult.
No, just say.
I'm an adult. Yeah. It's okay. It's all right. But other than that, we didn't have any negative experience. I ran into a friend of mine, Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Oh, yeah. You never listen to the podcast. You don't even know I do it. But hi, Kelly. Also ran into another friend of mine in Frontierland, the owner of the tiki bar that I work at.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard this, Tom. And there he was. And I was like, oh, Michael. So it was just great. And now we're back. And got to get back into the swing of things. Go back to work on Monday.
Still got a few days.
Not really.
Couple days.
Tomorrow too. I have a gig tomorrow.
You have a gig, yeah.
Yeah, we're different. Doing Cuban night, 1950s Cuban night. We've got live bands and we have a Brazilian carnival.
Has it sold out already?
Yeah, okay. Sold out.
Because this will go up today.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.
Have a wonderful day. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
And rate, review, and follow us on Instagram.
And Tom and Hank. podcast@gmail.com if you have any feedback for us. Or
hate mail comes back as spam.
It does. So thank you so much, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. Stay awesome.
Stay rad.
Bye.